I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you're here today with other incredible women who are doing kick-ass things in midlife. And on this show, I do solo episodes, I do guest episodes, introducing you to amazing people who have expertise in helping us in everything in midlife, from sex to wellness to food to business, you name it. And if you like what you hear, please, please, please go on, leave a review, subscribe, because that will help other women find this podcast. So I have never done where I have two guests at the same time. Maybe it helps that they both have the same name, so I don't have to worry about saying different names. But I met Kelly Bush and Kelly Metris when I was on their podcast, Getting Real with Bossy, which is for women entrepreneurs. And what I realized, though, is they have so much more than just a podcast. They began Bossy, which is also a group to help female entrepreneurs, in 2014 in response to not having a place that they felt supported women business owners. Collectively, they have owned 9 businesses and counting and have been navigating the world of small business ownership for over 13 years. Both are dedicated to creating a strong community that nurtures small businesses because they believe that we can collectively raise the integrity of our cities through integrity in business. And I have to tell you, the one, Kelly, is recovering from surgery, but these two usually seem to be attached at the hip. Hey, Kelly and Kelly.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So let's start with where you're coming from.
Well, first, I want to say thank you so much for that intro. And I think we need to copy that down and read that to ourselves once in a while, because that was amazing. So thank you.
So you're based in Rochester, right?
Yes.
But that's what I love about podcasting and groups, because you help women all over the world, which is just like so cool, because I'm finding, because obviously I'm doing podcasting too, but connecting and finding people all over the world who can give this kind of inspiration and support. And that's what's really about. But I want to start, before we talk about the podcast, let's talk about all your other businesses.
Which ones? Each of them I could talk about for hours.
Well, your restaurants, because I just, as a foodie, I just find it so cool that you have all these restaurants.
So currently, Kelly Bush owns the Union Tavern in Seabreeze, which is a historic neighborhood in Rochester, home of the longest running theme park ran by the same family, and I believe the longest running wooden roller coaster. So need a reason to come to see Kelly.
And the oldest miniature golf course in the country.
Oh, you're kidding. Yes, right down the street from you as well.
I don't own those things, but yeah, they are right down the street from me.
Oh my God.
So come to historic Seabreeze neighborhood, hang out in those things. You get a little Happy Gilmore when you're miniature golfing, and then dine at the Union Tavern and Marshall Street Bar and Grill downtown, which is everybody's favorite place to go for anything from streaming TV to games to playing board games to drinking. I love Marshall Street.
Oh my God. And so how many restaurants have you guys owned?
Oh God. So you get those two. And I have Selena's over in the neighborhood of the Arts in Rochester, Selena's Mexican restaurant. It's Selena's Taqueria. I have Knox Cocktail Lounge. I had a commissary kitchen. And I had the Rochester Youth Culinary Experience, which was a not-for-profit restaurant run by high school students. Is that it? Did I cover everything?
Yeah, so far.
Okay. up yes, to date. And I'm about to venture into another whole thing. So and then Kelly has a consulting business. We have Bossy. Yeah, so it's a whole thing.
You guys don't sleep.
not well.
And how old are your kids each?
I don't have any kids.
Okay.
Kelly has the best dog mom ever.
Aww.
Your dog wonderful is so lucky. Auntie. And the best auntie to my kids. Oh, by the way, yesterday Amani told me that you texted and I was like, well, what did she say? And she's like, well, you weren't here, so I didn't read it. And I was very proud of her. But my kids range from, they're 6, 8, 12, and 14.
Oh my gosh. So you came together. How long have you two known each other?
So I've known her probably since 2004. She and my husband used to work together at a pub downtown. So that's how I met her first.
Wow. So. And,
almost family.
Yeah.
It's almost related to her husband. So.
Oh my gosh. So you work together, you play together, your family's together. Is it a little too close for comfort?
Not yet.
So Kelly and I actually, we skipped a whole section. We ended up getting really close because we worked at a day treatment program for behaviorally challenged youth from 6th to 12th grade. And I ended up taking a special ed job there and she was the behavioral therapist. And we worked side by side in that, handling some unique challenges. And that's how we got to creating space together because we would meet to talk about these things. A, you have HIPAA, but aside from HIPAA, like nobody gets it. Like you try to explain your day and people are like, oh, they like think that you're like exaggerating or you chose this job. It's not really that stressful. The two of us would just be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you get thrown at your head today?
Yeah. Right. And so we had that space. And in that meeting of like, we would meet regularly at least once a month just to like have space together. We ended up buying businesses with our husbands within the same year. So it just organically transferred from like a combination of our work experience at this other place. Even after I had left it, she was still there. So I was still somebody who could understand. And then she started buying the business with her husband. And then I started, and it was like not on purpose.
Right.
But it just became this space that it became, have you ever dealt with this? Do you know the law guidelines on this? How do I find this information? What the hell am I doing? Where can I learn this? And it grew from that. And we got to the point where it was like our favorite time was the time we got to actually be open and honest and felt heard. And we one day just over a couple of drinks, decided, you know what, let's invite some other women and see if they want to feel like this. And we threw like just a random happy hour, 30 women business owners ended up showing up. And at the end, everybody there was just like, oh my God, when are we doing this again? And it just became an organic growth from there to what do these women need? What are the things we're hearing? And it wasn't that we're the specialists, especially in the beginning where I feel like I'm a little bit, well, way more knowledgeable now than I was 13 years ago. But it was more, I don't know that answer either. Let's have somebody come in. And we would host a seminar. Then we started doing quarterly seminars. And now we're just doing a yearly conference so that all your seminars are just in one space and people only have to find time, you know, 1 or 2 days a year to get all that information and then do what they can with it. So it has been a very organic trip.
There's a lot of groups out there that do similar things to what we do. But one thing Kelly and I would find is we'd go to these events and everybody would talk about how wonderful it was to be a business owner. And these are all the great things. And they'd be talking to young entrepreneurs, older entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs in midlife who want to start a business. And it was all of this, you know, magical rainbows and roses. And it was very frustrating because I don't need help. And I don't need support when things are going well. I'm pretty good at knowing how to be happy, but you know, I need help when I'm crying. I need help when I don't understand what balancing these types of books looks like. So there was no safe place to go and ask those questions. So that
was a lot of those groups, sorry, just the last part, a lot of those groups also didn't just limit to business owners. It was like women in leadership positions, which is great. But there's a certain point in every conversation I have with somebody that's in a leadership position that there's a dead stop because A, you can quit. B, you're not the one that's up all night trying to figure out how you're going to pay payroll because sales are down or you're not getting leads. And, you know, so like this dead stop happens. And we wanted to have a space that was just completely open on wherever you were. You could come in this space and bring it. If you were happy, that's great. You could just hang out. If you're frustrated, maybe there's some people that can give you some ideas.
Well, you touched on the theme that I feel is so important is that vulnerability to share and to be honest. And I think that women especially have a hard time with that because they feel like they're being judged and there's so much imposter syndrome that it's really challenging. But I loved how you said you weren't the experts. You just wanted to facilitate. And I think that that limiting belief comes from, I can't speak up unless I have the answer. And that's not true. Right? No. Like we can all just say, I don't get it. And especially, I love that you limited it to women business owners, because you're right. With the leadership, they can call IT, they can call their finance. And as women business owners, we're it, right? Like we have to figure it all out.
We are IT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. We are HR. We are all of those departments.
Exactly. So how did the podcast grow out of that?
So I always wanted, like, my big dream was when we would have bossy chapters all over the country and we could go and travel and meet women all over. And obviously that's going to take time, if ever. The podcast was really the best way to get out there and to be able to meet people in other cities, to be able to interview people and to share what's going on more than just in our area. It's great because we are always really good at supporting each other in the group, but there's a lot of people that have really amazing products and businesses that they could you know, branch out throughout the country. So it was one thing we really wanted to share those stories.
And it was an organic transition too, because we start every bossy hour. We have bossy happy hours. And we have somebody host, and it doesn't have to be your brick and mortar if you just are the host and someone else is the brick and mortar, but they kind of give their story in the beginning of every meeting. And it's, you know, where they're at, how they got there, what they're struggling with, what they're doing really good with. And then we just organically go from there. So it's just a longer version of getting to hear people's full stories. Cause you're there and you're like, well, I want to know more. Like, how did you make that decision? What made you feel like that? So it was really fun to deep dive into how people got where they are and where those ideas came from.
And as a podcaster, I would think you would feel that it's a great way for people to promote their businesses, right? You know, I find just with the algorithms of advertising and Facebook, it's expensive. But when you're able to tap into an audience, it's a great way. So talk to me about some of the people you've featured on your podcast. Who are some that stand out?
Other than you, of course.
Aw, thank you.
We were just able to interview a woman named Mara Smith, who started her own tequila brand, her own tequila company. So that was really great, being that Kelly owns a Mexican restaurant. So I was very excited for that. And she started her business during the pandemic, which was a really neat thing to be able to kind of talk about. And she's based out of Chicago. Let's see.
One of the ones that stands out was very early on. It's probably, I think we recorded it with like our phone. But it was dealing with grief while running your business.
Mm.
And it really stood out because it's something people don't talk about. We don't get paid leave.
No,
I didn't get maternity leave. I worked with that baby on my chest, you know, doing whatever you got to do. I worked until the day before I gave birth. You know, you don't get these things. And hearing a story of somebody whose father passed away and like, life is going to shit and their family's going to shit. And then trying to like, well, I have to do these events. Like this one in particular was a photographer. So she's like, I have to go to weddings and like graduations and these fun uplifting events. And I'm just falling apart inside dealing with all of these things and how to navigate that as a business owner. And I think that's something a lot of us don't share is that we're not just the business owner. And as a business owner, there isn't really a separation between life and business. No matter how good your boundaries are, they carry over.
Which is exactly what I wanted to get into. How do you feel? Because both of you have so much going on. What are your thoughts about work-life balance?
Well, Kelly didn't get maternity leave. I didn't get leave for having ankle surgery. I've worked every day that I've been out because I'm very fortunate that I have great teams that can handle things on the floor, but I've been working on all the other stuff here out at my mom's house because her house is very accessible to the wheelchair that I need to be in. And the Wi-Fi is horrible here. So it's just, it doesn't stop, you know, and I'm trying to balance that out with enjoying some time with my mother and enjoying kind of working on that relationship. And work doesn't stop. And I had to like silence my phone, not just vibrate, put it to vibrate. Cause she's like, what is going on? Why is your phone going off all the time? I'm like, cause it does. And you know, there's times when we can turn that off, but there's also times when it's important to have it on.
Yeah. I think, you know, I found that too, where there, I think there's this misconception. I hope it's ending where when you're an entrepreneur, you get to take time off and do whatever you want. And it's not the case, right? We work so many hours and yeah, maybe we can carve out those hours in the afternoon that we want to do, but we're making it up somewhere else. I mean, I know I went away for 10 days on a cruise. It was great, but I worked all weekend to Yep. make up for it. And I don't think people truly appreciate the choices we have to make as female entrepreneurs.
And mm-hmm. I can take that vacation. I'm going to bust my ass leading up until I walk onto that plane. And then I come home, I'm going to bust my ass to catch up because all of the things I didn't do are things that I don't have someone else to do. There are plenty right. of things I can, you know, I can have a manager. The nice thing about restaurants, you know, I can have people running. But what people don't understand is how much work goes into it that's not serving food.
Right, right. It's all the work back end. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, love it. But people will be like, I never see, are you even ever there? We never see you. I'm like, I'm literally always here on some level. I'm not, I have people that can be behind the bar. I have people that can be on the floor. I need to be doing all of the 100,000 other things that go into running a restaurant that people just don't realize happens.
Right. Do you think, I mean, there's great statistics out there about women starting businesses over the age of 40 and the success. Do you think it's easier or more difficult as we're in midlife to start a business, to change careers when the kids go off?
Well, I think that part of it, to circle back to that work-life balance and the whole idea of self-care, I struggle with those words a lot. They're very trendy. It's crap, you know, and I think that as business owners, it's very important that we define that. You know, like when I started this business with my husband, we had small children and it was, okay, we're going to be working at night. We're not going to be together a lot at night. So we're going to have breakfast every day together, you know? Mm-hmm. And so getting up with the kids and having like, that's been our thing, is to like see them in the morning to make sure we're, you know, so it's like, you have to define that for yourself. It doesn't matter what other people say and what other people think it should look like.
Right.
And if you want to go on a cruise, and maybe part of that is that you know you're going to have to work from the cruise ship. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're defining what that looks like. And self-care doesn't necessarily cost money.
Right.
Sometimes, I mean, my therapist, my homework is usually to sit for 5 minutes and do nothing. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. It's so hard. My brain doesn't function that way. But I think that the reason I connected to that is I think that the older we get as women, and I don't know if this goes for men, I'm not a man, but I know as a woman, I always say that the older I get, it's so much better. Everything in life is better. I love my life more than I ever have. I don't know that I loved my life at all up until I was in my 30s, you know? So it's like, to be able to take control of that and to define that for yourself, like, that makes sense to me that it would be a better time for women to start a business because we don't have the confidence and the ability to make those forceful definitions for ourselves. We're just kind of trying to keep up with the Joneses.
And to be able to say that some of this BS doesn't matter. And I, at my age now, I'm 48. I don't feel like I have to apologize for when I'm not available. I don't feel like I have to make excuses. And I think that really is, I mean, God bless the young people that have that ability. I did not. And that's something that's come from working with other business owners and knowing that stuff. But I don't feel like I have to do that anymore. And I think that definitely comes with age. And I think, God, if I opened a restaurant now, the things I would do differently. Yeah.
I know. And I think, though, that this younger generation coming out of college, though, looks at the world so differently than we did, right? Like, we had this idea that we need to do X, Y, and Z, and that's the path that we need to take. And I think, especially after COVID, they're like, screw it. I'm doing it my way. I'm, you know, looking at what I'm passionate about and following that. And I hope that's the case, because like you guys, like, I think it's all about loving what you do, right? When you love what you do, you'll do it. You'll do what it takes.
Right.
And I think that, like, I was just talking to somebody yesterday, like, I look at, because of the way I was raised, and not by my parents, but like by society, right? Like, you had to get the good grades and you had to get into the good school, and nobody like really knew what they wanted to do.
Right.
Like, nobody I knew went to college. So I just kind of did the things.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't just do the things. I mean, I'm happy with where I am now and I wouldn't be here, right? But I tell my kids, like, my one daughter's super obsessed with her grades and doing well. And I'm like, you just need to pass.
I know. Like, I know.
You're going to get the AP credit with a 66 or a 99. Yeah. So like, does it really matter?
And no one's going to look at that piece of paper when you get out of school.
Not right? at all. But that's true. The messages that we got in the 80s and early 90s is completely different than the message that's going out now. And that's wonderful.
Yeah. And I hope for that. So I think, you know, I think this generation is more adept and ready to be entrepreneurs than we were, because we were still the good girls and we followed the patterns. And I think they're willing to break that cycle. And, you know, even our parents' generation, where it's like, you stay at the same company till you mm-hmm. die and you get that gold watch and you don't mm-hmm. jump around to other careers. And I mean, gosh, you two are the epitome of that, having, you know, all of the companies you do. So what's it like working with your husbands?
What episodes are those when we interview ourselves?
How long do we have?
I love it. I mean, I have only have one business that, well, two businesses that don't include him. But it is great. We've always been able to navigate our time pretty well. When we met, I was in the school system. So I was up at 5 a.m. He worked in a bar. So he was up until 5 a.m. So we always knew we had this like pack of time between 4 and 7 that was our best. So we were always really able to acknowledge, when am I at my best? Because it's not necessarily traditional, and we're not going to go to bed at the same time. We're not going to eat our meals at the same time. Those traditional things didn't happen. So I think for Don and I, it was very, I'm not going to say seamless, because that's not accurate. It was a little bit easier for us because we kind of navigated a non-traditional relationship pretty well already. And then when our business, you know, kind of soared in year 3, we really found that we weren't doing so good with that. So we made it a point, like, every day we need 1 hour where we don't talk business, if at all possible. And when we have conversations, that we're very clear with, you know, is this like a bitch session, or what are we looking at? Do you want my response as a business, your business partner, or your wife? Because those are two very, very, very different conversations. So
that's a good point.
That's how we navigate.
Kelly, what about you?
She's so much better. And I've actually taken some of her things. I'm better at it with my kids than my husband, of being like, do you want to just vent, or do you want me to help you? With my husband, I'm like, shut up.
Right.
But we got together, we actually got pregnant, broken up. So our story is a little bit different. It's also non-traditional. We moved in together as friends, because we were about to raise a baby together. It would just make more sense financially. Ended up realizing there's a reason we got pregnant, broken up, because we still really liked each other, and ended up, you know, doing the whole marriage thing. So when we first moved in together, it was a partnership, you know, and we had to be very kind of clear about like, who's doing what? How are we getting the bills paid? We're saving money for this baby. We didn't, the relationship we were in before we broke up was less than a year. So it's not like we had really known each other that well. So we kind of had to like figure it out. And then when you fast forward into buying the business, we already kind of were navigating a partnership, even though we had fallen in love. We were very clear about communication and expectations and, okay, these are the things you're good at and you're going to do those. These are the things I'm good at and I'm going to do those. And people will be like, oh, I want to advertise. Or do you want to advertise? And I'm like, oh, you got to talk to Aaron. And they're like, well, don't you own the business? And I'm like, well, yeah, but he's doing the advertising. If I spend the money on advertising, I don't know what his, like where he is in the budget. Like, why would I just spend the money? You know, you're talking about HR, you got to talk to Kelly. Why do I got to talk to Kelly? Well, Kelly's the HR person, you know, and just really defining that. And like I said earlier, because it's an untraditional setting, when you own a business with your husband, you kind of have to figure those things out of like, when is your alone time? When are you going to have sex? I mean, let's be real here. There's a lot going on in our lives. It's really being open and honest and communicative. And I think that that's why Kelly and I are able to do this together, is because we both have those partnerships with our husbands. So we both kind of come into this with that same expectation of like, I know I can count on you to follow through on things. I know I can count on you if I'm sick, you know? So like, I know Kelly is busy healing and out in Ontario, so I'm going to handle anything that's internet related.
Yeah. Yeah.
While she's out.
You know, you both talked about the idea of these non-traditional structures. And I think as entrepreneurs, that's so important to understand and not feel like there's the certain way to do it. You've got to figure that out together. So how, like, do you two have clearly defined roles within Bossy, or how does that work?
We did them. It's really our strengths. Like, yeah, we wrote them out. We actually decided like we needed to have an exit plan and a kind of a contract. We weren't like official until about a year and a half ago when we opened a bank account, because we started charging for membership. And it wasn't until we were both on the bank account, we were like, we're officially business partners. Like, we didn't even talk about it. Like, it was just, that's what Bossy needed next. So we just did it. But in order to do that, we had to do, you know, the DBA and all that stuff. And we're like, huh, we just became business partners like 6 months ago and never even talked about it. So we took the time, and I think it's important to do that, to sit down and say, like, this is the expectation. And if you ever want to quit, this is how we would handle it, because you want to do those things while you're getting along.
Yeah.
Right. I think it goes back to the last part that Kelly was saying, because we've been able to navigate our business, our roles in our business partnerships with our husbands, which is honestly how many business partnerships fail, because people don't want to go, this is what I'm good at and this is what you're bad at, and vice versa. Cause that's a touchy thing when you're, you know, in a relationship. That's just part of life, and you have to have those conversations. So it's easy for us, for Kelly and I, to be like, well, you could tell me I'm bad at that. I'm not going to take that personally. Cause there are things we have that ability to have those conversations because of the partnerships we have with our husbands.
And capacity, right? Being honest about our capacity. Like, right. I can't do this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find the women that you speak to who are entrepreneurs have a hard time with that, recognizing when they're at their capacity and they're going to burn out? Like, do you feel like women have a hard time saying no?
Definitely.
I think that's something about it a lot in Bossy.
Yeah, it comes up in almost every time we get together. That is definitely one of the topics that always comes up.
I think that's entrepreneurs in general, right? You have to take all the business you can get, because you don't know if it's going to be there next month.
Right.
Yeah. For retailers, the busiest time in their personal life is also usually the busiest time in their professional life. Yeah. And there's that is near impossible to create balance at that time.
What are some of the other big challenges you find with your group that they talk about?
Money.
Employees. I think those are the two main things, especially post-COVID. Money is the entire world has changed. For people that don't think it has, it has. especially for small business owners. And I don't personally see it going back anywhere near what it used to be. So finding money, which is great, because we do have some wonderful people who are good at getting grants, who are trained in grant writing. So that's a topic that comes up a lot. But people that have employees, we have plenty of people on both sides that are, solo entrepreneurs and have up to 40 employees. So that's something we talk about a lot. And it's great because I think people who are getting to the point of needing employees have heard us kind of talking about it for a long time. So those conversations are never lost on people that don't necessarily have employees. And we all often hear like, oh God, I want to bring somebody on, but I hear what you guys say. And then we're like, well, here are the good reasons, here are the pros and cons. Yeah. So
I think it goes both ways, right? The fear, that fear of growth and what it takes to really invest in your business if you want to get to that next level versus, how do you see where the world is going? And are you, I hate this word, but are you able to pivot and see, maybe your business is changing and you've got to look at that.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of women too, and I don't think it's talked about a lot in our group because it's not talked about. And we try to push people. Is how amazing they are and how good they're doing and what they've accomplished and how strong they are. And, really pushing that. And we're really pushing this year the use of the word CEO. Mm-hmm. So they'll admit that they own the business. And I'm like, well, that makes you the CEO. Mm-hmm. Use it. But yeah. CEO is this word that's for someone else, like Jeff Bezos, not me. Yeah. And so we're really trying to push that. So we but in the middle of our bossy meetings every month, we ask everyone in the group to say something you're fucking amazing at. What are you a fucking expert at?
Yes.
And we make them, and they don't have to swear, but it is funny because some women are like, I don't swear. I'm like, okay. But other women are like, I am really good. And we're like, no, I'm a fucking expert at, and you just see the whole, their body change of yes. taking that power and acknowledging something that they're amazing at.
So I just started this tradition for myself, and I've always worked out of my home office. So I warned my husband that I'm doing this, but I feel successful, but there's a difference between being successful and feeling bold. And so every morning I wake up and I yell at the top of my lungs, I am bold. And I throw it out there because we do as women, we hold back, and men don't do that.
No. And I think it's hard when you're in the go and you're doing things and you're running your business to acknowledge and even see some of those steps that you've taken and how amazing you are. So there are times where Kelly and I sometimes have to give them a little clue. These is things you literally just did last week. They're like,
yes,
oh, right. That's right. People you just don't realize some of the things, everybody's not doing that. You're doing these amazing things and you don't always acknowledge it because you're just going and going and going.
I think what you guys are doing is so important. I adore talking to you guys. I know, people say it to me too. I don't know how you get everything done and you get done, but I don't know how you get everything done that you get done. It's truly amazing. What is one piece of advice you would leave with our midlife women?
I mean, to say it's never too late, I feel probably comes up a lot, but knowing what I know now, I would love to start another business at this age.
Cool. Kelly, what about you?
It's become trendy to talk about. And I think that it's one of the reasons that midlife is amazing is I think that we're better at it. So younger people are trying to do it, but that's idea of those micro moments of just when you're having a good moment or you see the first flower pop through the grass or the sun's out and you just take a second and just let it hit your face or your favorite songs on the radio and you're dancing in the car and singing on the top, those moments are what make it all worthwhile. Even when it's stressful, just taking those moments.
Oh my gosh. Kelly Maris, Kelly Bush, thank you so much. And everybody, we'll see you again next week. Bye now.
Thank you.